Now, Steve Coppin's going to come in a little while and talk about the importance of prayer and fasting. But before we do that, shall we open the Word of God and pray? So let's pray. Father, I thank you for Rise Up. Lord, this theme for 2018. And I pray, Father, that you would just anoint this message, Father, that we would belong, grow, and build our best lives for your glory. The people of God said. All right, come with me again to, maybe some of you haven't heard it, but Nehemiah 2:18. Nehemiah 2:18. We're happy to put up with the noise from the aircon because it's quite muggy, right? So we'll just leave that on. I'm happy. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also of the king's word that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Say it with me, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Who thinks that's a good saying? The God of heaven himself will prosper us, and therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. And then it talks about, he just gets a little bit interesting about but you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. Because they're actually, you've got to have unity to build the house of God. Amen? And so rise up, a great analogy from Vicky Simpson last week, like a hot air balloon. For the hot air balloon to rise, the weights have to be, you have to lose the weights. And so those things that are holding on to us in 2018, can we trust together that with help from one another and from the Lord and the Word of God that we will drop our weights so that we can rise up with Him? And I think that's a really good thing to do. God is for you. God loves you. God cares about you. He's not concerned so much about what you've done in the past. He's looking forward, though, to a greater relationship with you now and for the future. And so once we make a decision to love God, our whole world starts to turn around. And yes, it's a process. Yes, it's a journey. And we all get on board together of loving God and helping ourselves with the help of others to grow up in God. And so Nehemiah 2:18, he basically is saying, you know what? God is good for me. Nehemiah is saying, God is good for me. So why don't we say this together this morning? God is good for me. God is good for me. Yeah, God is good for me. And so make the decision around this year to do the right thing in God. Who knows that when you read your word and you do the things according to the word of God, that it's going to be helpful for your life. And so when we do those things and we trust his word, that we are going to have a great life. And so here's Nehemiah, before the Persian king. And Nehemiah is the king's cupbearer. Now, some of you may have seen this in some of the ancient movies, what the cupbearer's job is. And I'll talk about this in a second. See, the cupbearer was an esteemed position. The cupbearer was to be seen as polished yet graceful when serving the wine to the king. And most importantly, the cupbearer was to have a pleasant demeanor. And so Nehemiah, if I had a cup here, he would wash the cup in the king's presence. The king would be sitting on his throne. And the king, Nehemiah, would wash the cup in his presence. And then he would take a little wine and he would pour it into his left hand and have a little sip. Just in case it was poison. Just to make sure that the king didn't die, that Nehemiah would die first. And then he would pour very graciously the wine into the cup. And then with just his thumb and his finger, he would hand the wine and like bow before the king. And the wine, the king would take the wine. On this particular day, just before I get to that, you know, let me give you my first point this morning. Rise up and serve. Turn to your neighbor and say, serve. See, Nehemiah is serving a foreign king. The culture is not his own. The people are not his own. But even though he would have felt at least slightly out of place, he rose above the crowds of people in Persia who would have loved to have had his job. Nehemiah, in this sense, is like Joseph. His complete trust in God amidst adversity has brought him to a place that will change the future. And I am here this morning almost prophetically saying to us that amidst adversity and the issues that we face in life, that as we trust our God, that he will launch us into a greater future as a church, as C3 Wellard, and for the things that we are involved in both our story, our future, and leap into spring. You see, in God's kingdom, it is not who you are or who you think you are that is going to bring the blessing into your life. It is your sacrifice that will bring the blessing. Oh dear. It is your that will bring the blessing. Say it with me one more time. It is sacrifice that will bring blessing. So here's Nehemiah serving a Persian king. And Nehemiah does not hold to all the values that are those of the king, Artaxerxes, which we learned last time. It would be fair to say that in at least some situations that Nehemiah does not agree with the way that the king leads. Yet he is still able to serve and honor the king. We are living in a time in history where, for the most part, people have forgotten the art of submission. If you are to get anywhere in God, you must first learn how to serve and to follow. How did Jesus rise up? How did Jesus rise up? He gave himself as a sacrifice. The devil thought he had won. You know, all the demons in hell were rejoicing. Oh, you're gone. That's the end. But it was the worst thing that he could have done. Because not only did he rise up on the third day, but he rose up and freed you and I from sin and death. His sacrifice brought victory. How do you and I rise up? How do you and I rise up? I said, church, how do you and I rise up? He gave himself as a sacrifice. And if I were the devil, I would get you to think that your serving responsibilities in church were too time consuming. If I were the devil, I would think that it was unnecessary to serve because, well, someone else can do it. If I were the devil, I would get you to think that serving the vision of the church was an absolute waste of time. If I were the devil, I would harden your heart toward giving. The devil knows that it's through your sacrifice. The devil knows that it's through your and through your giving that you receive the blessing and favor of God on your life. And Nehemiah is serving the king his wine. It's a great vintage. Some people think that it's just, you know, give me a break. It's good wine. It's got alcohol in it. It's the best. It's a well mulled over wine. It's aged a little bit. You know, it's something the king would have immense pleasure in swirling around in his mouth. And Nehemiah is serving the king his wine, and cupbearers were to have a radiant demeanor. You know, so don't forget, what's Nehemiah done? He's had a little sip and he's got, that's fantastic. But on this particular day, his demeanor wasn't that way. You were never to show signs of sorrow or dejection in front of the king. It could even mean death. And the king felt Nehemiah's agitation and saw the sorrow on his face, which was not normal. And the king, what he was serving all this time, the king, and so the king says, why are you so sad in my presence? Why are you so dejected? Why are you so downcast? See, when you've been serving faithfully for some time with the right attitude and demeanor, it earns you favor from God and from men. And the king asked Nehemiah, so when he says, why are you so dejected? See, I find it quite remarkable that Nehemiah's response, which we find in chapter 2 and verse 3, is that Nehemiah not only gives to King Artaxerxes a reason for his sorrow, my father's tombs are in ruins. And the city's gates are burned down. He doesn't only give him a reason, but he also gives the king a little bit of vision about, as soon as you hear about the king's burnt down, immediately most of us will get a picture of gates or a whole city burning, right? And so the king responds, what do you request? I've got to tell you, church, when you serve the God of heaven, when you serve the Almighty One, when you have the power of the Almighty because you have a direct connection, relationship like Nehemiah had with the people of God, with God and with the people, because he'd been praying and fasting and he has this great urge to actually be the leader to rebuild the whole of the city. There's this thing that favor comes on your life when you have a relationship with God. And so the king says, what is your request? What do you request? Who'd like God to say to you, what do you request? Come on, let's be honest. What do you request? What do you request? Some of you would like to have, some of you would like to be married like Barry and Michelle. Some of you would like, you know, there are things that only God can do for us. And he wants to do them in 2018. Come on. See, in Nehemiah 2:5, if it pleases the king, this is his response, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. See, the Bible says that God's people were in reproach. Nehemiah talks about this in verse 17 of chapter 2. They were in reproach. You know what the word reproach means? They were a disappointment. I've been a disappointment on occasion to my own family. And man, sometimes I wish that I'd just close my mouth and said nothing. Does anyone feel that way sometimes when they're having one of those really constructive arguments that is not very constructive at all? I'm grateful to my family that after some time and because of their reciprocal love, we've come back stronger. But when God's people are a disappointment to God through their actions, it's not that God has stopped loving you. He never stops loving you. But when you claim to be His, but you don't really care about His church, you don't really care about how the church is getting along, you don't really care about how the people of God are doing, when this becomes a pattern in your life, you have disconnected from the one who has made the ultimate sacrifice for you. You are not in submission to Jesus. You have chosen your own destiny. You may be sitting in church, but you've actually chosen not to be a part of anything apart from being here. You've actually chosen your own destiny, not the will of God for your life. You've disconnected. You're not in submission to Jesus. You have chosen your own destiny. And Nehemiah rose up. Say with me, church, we can rise up. We can have the spirit of Nehemiah and rise up. Now we are, who would like to, I don't know about you, but I look around me and I see out there in our world a lot of things and a lot of situations that just simply having the love of God in our heart and communicating that and people enjoying the community that we have would change their whole outlook on life. And so Nehemiah gets a burden and says, you know what, we've got to rise up. And I'm feeling like, oh, I've got this burden that you and I have got to rise up. Because we are living in some times where you know what, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'm not going to be that kind of person. I'm living for Christ and I am going to do my part in building the kingdom of God. And so men who have placed their trust in God, prepared to take risks because they see a way to move forward. They want to see the church progress. Can anyone agree with me this morning? And so the Persian king said to Nehemiah, what do you need? And how long will you be gone? Who thinks that's favor right there? And so Nehemiah's character earned him the favor required to rebuild Jerusalem. Let's think about that when we go to work tomorrow morning. Let's think about that when we meet someone that's a little bit obstropolous with us. Some of you don't understand that word, it's okay. Cantankerous. Just downright rude to you. Mean to you. Driving along in the car and they give you the universal, you know, language. Andrea has a good response to that. She puts up this finger, I love you. See, Nehem, we all have adversaries. I've got a few. Who's got some adversaries? No? Whenever you do anything worthwhile, you're gonna have some pushback, right? Whenever you do. We have adversaries in our modern world also called being busy. Oh, I'm so busy, man. How was your weekend? Oh, busy. How was your week? Oh, so busy. I don't know what doing busy, but hey, I'm busy. I'm being naughty now. Okay. Our time is precious. These are words that we use regularly. Oh, yeah, but I've got to do this with my kids. Oh, yeah, I've got to do this sporting event. I've got to do this. I can't do that because of this. And then there's all our entertainment options because we live in a very blessed city called Perth, Western Australia. Former British Prime Minister Winston Churchill led the Allies to victory against all the odds simply because he refused to admit defeat. And most of us would know his most famous saying, never... never, never give up. Say it with me. Never, never, it's all three times, never give up. But Churchill also made this incredible statement. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Continuous effort, not strength or intelligence, is the key to unlocking our potential. Nehemiah had three nations opposing him with more firepower, with more men, and with better military strategy intelligence. And this is how Nehemiah responded to his adversaries. The God of heaven himself will prosper us. And we his servants, we his, will arise and build. Who do servants serve? It's not a trick question. Their master. Thank you, Susan. Brownie points for Susan this morning. Actually, free coffee on you. Cafe team, Susan can have a free coffee. So who is our master? Say it loud. Jesus. Where do we show we serve our master? In church. Coffee for your friend next to you as well. See, it is through our continuous effort. Come on. Those people in the cafe, let's give them a hand this morning. Those people on our board that helped me to progress our future, give them a hand this morning. Those people in kids' church that look after your children, my goodness, they need a medal. Fantastic. All our staff here this morning that work tirelessly, give them a hand. Reese and Danny for being here 4 weeks in a row. Any one of you that has anything at all to do in church, give yourselves a hand this morning. You see, where do we show we serve our master? It is through our continuous effort. And Nehemiah says in chapter 4, for the people had a mind to work. Turn to your neighbor and say, I've got a mind to work. And then it continues, and Nehemiah says, because it's a biography of their life, then they set their hands to this good work. Who believes that church is one of the greatest, best works we can do? Oh, only a few of you. I'm discouraged. Just for a second, you know, because I'm relying on the Word of God, and I know that when we hook into what God has for us, we will rise up. It is a continuous effort. Okay, so rise up and serve. Turn to your neighbor, rise up and serve. Hannah, what an awesome young server you are. You've done all right, Steve. Nehemiah 4:9, come with me quickly. Nehemiah 4:9, I'm going to get Steve up in a sec. Nehemiah 4:9, nevertheless, turn to your neighbor and say, nevertheless, we made our prayer to God. Nevertheless, nevertheless. See, so many things can take our time away from God. And so we are committing to prayer and fasting tomorrow. Everyone say, tomorrow. We are praying and for 21 days. Why did I say 21 days? Okay, so it's actually like the Daniel fast. That's why 21 days, but also coincides with our miracle offering on the 18th of March. And I think this year, there is something incredible going on in the end that's going to transform how we do church. Yeah. I'm convinced of it. And so we're having a season of prayer. Who knows that seasons are good for us? Yeah. And so Nehemiah was fasting and praying before the God of heaven, and a burden comes on him for the church. He was disturbed that the walls were broken down, that families are in trouble, people are isolated and lonely. They're at all four corners of the earth, and he starts to pray and he sees them coming back to Jerusalem. The walls are broken down out there. Church, the walls are broken down out there. And so, Steve, come forward. John Calvin wrote in his exposition of the Christian faith, just to give you a bit of theology this morning, the word of God is not received by faith if it flits about in the top of your brain, but when it takes root in the depth of your heart. So when the gospel does take root in the heart, the sign of it is that Christians are led to establish complete happiness in Him. It is prayer that turns theology into experience. It is through it we sense His presence and receive His joy, love, peace, confidence. We are changed in attitude, behavior, and character. When we pray, there is a spirit of gratefulness that comes on us just because we have God in our life. Thank you, Steve. Let's give Steve a hand.
What a tremendous vision we have for this year about rising up. You know, I'm so convinced that God doesn't want us to remain the same. As a church and as people ourselves, that God wants us to grow. He wants us to increase during a year. He doesn't want us to come to the end of the year and be the same as what we are at the start. And sometimes we need to, we all as Christians should pray, but sometimes we need an added dimension to our prayer life to revolutionize us and break through some barriers that we may have. So I've got a few little points here just on fasting. Why fast? Really, why fast? Because I want to rise up. I want to rise up. I want to take fresh ground for God this year. As a church, we want to push back, push out and push down walls and take new ground as a church. We're not wanting to remain the same. We're wanting to have growth happen in our lives. Why fast? Moses fasted, Elijah fasted, David fasted, Samuel fasted, Daniel fasted. So we're fasting. All the Old Testament saints fasted. And then in the New Testament, Jesus fasted. He did a 40-dayer. I don't think we're going to do a 40-day though. You know, in Mark 9, there's a story there where Jesus was up with, with John and Peter up in the Mount of Transfiguration, and his disciples were down there trying to cast a demon out of a father's boy. And they weren't having much success. They prayed a lot, but nothing happened, and the demon was still there. When Jesus came down, he sort of rebuked them, but then cast the demon out because there was a crowd coming around about him. And so when the after all the, this, that all gone back to, and they were around Jesus later, the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, how do we get this demon to move out of him? And Jesus said, this one only comes out through prayer and fasting. So there's prayer, but there's also fasting. You know, in Acts 13, the early church fasted and prayed before they commissioned or sent out the disciples. So it's all through the Bible. Prayer and fasting is part of really being a Christian. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose of our fast? And I think if we're going to fast, we're coming together as a church, and really our purpose is to see us rise up this year. But there may be some things in your life that you need to deal with. You know, part of fasting is it's a humbling experience. We have to humble ourselves before God. It's forsaking some things that our flesh enjoys. We want to, it should be like drawing closer to God. We want to draw closer to God. We want to have a closer walk with God because we want to be more influential in our lives. We need more of God in our lives. If we're struggling with the Word of God, it's going to help us to understand God's Word. We may need direction. It's going to bring direction to our lives. You may have struggle. You may be struggling with addictions or sickness or just some adversity. You know, when you add fasting to your prayer, that can break those things. You may have a crisis that you need God's attention. And fasting is really just fasting and praying, you'll allow God to intervene. And another thing, it could be that you want to intercede for others, for family members that are not saved. So as we come into this 21-day fast, make a list of, you don't need to make a big list of a whole lot of things, but maybe two or three key areas that you want to see broken in this next 21 days. And I believe that as a church, if we're all getting in this together, we're all doing it together, there's going to be tremendous power in this. It's not just one individual doing it or one person. But if we all get involved, that God is going to break some things. And there's going to be some tremendous testimonies. Not only are we going to have a great financial overflow for the building fund, but there's going to be such great testimonies in your lives that it's really going to affect other people. And it just really set us on course for this year. And then what too fast? What too fast? Well, you've got to settle it in your own heart to start with. Don't. I think fasting, you don't want to just step out and say, well, I'm going to fast everything. I'm not going to eat or anything like this for the 21 days. Well, you'll just set yourself up to fail. If you've never fasted before, you need to just set. Really, fasting biblically is abstaining from food. Now, some of us, as Vicky mentioned, some of us aren't in a position where we can fast food. But really, we've got to just settle that. So 21 days, Daniel did it for 21 days, and he did that by just eating vegetables and fruit and just drinking water. It's quite a doable fast. It sometimes gets a little bit trying to find out different ways that I can cook vegetables, but it does, I mean, it is quite doable. It gives you, I suppose, enough energy to do the work that you need to do during the day. Another way would be just fasting that one meal. It may be lunch or it may be dinner. Now fasting is just the one part of it, though. If we're not putting any prayer in as well, putting any extra prayer or spending the time that maybe we might have eaten that meal and going and praying then, all we're doing is really doing a diet, which can be quite beneficial for some of us.
So, Steve, what other things can we fast? Some people can't fast food.
Okay, so probably, I suppose we live in an entertainment type world now, so TV would be one area that we could really probably
Who thinks that would hurt them? Like missing TV for 21 days. Come on, be honest. Well, that might be a really good one for you. What about social media?
Well,
no Facebook, no Instagram, no stories, no Snapchat for 21 days. All the young adults? You up for that? Awesome, all right.
Yes. So, the social media doesn't, because I'm an older person, the social media doesn't really worry bother me. So yeah, for your young ones, yeah, social media would be a really good one. But oh, yeah, alcohol, yes, exactly. All that, yeah. Coffee.
Fasting coffee. Oh, dear.
Now we're... But I think the most important thing is that it's got to be that you've got to determine it in your heart. So whatever you do, don't set yourself up to fail. So just set off with something that you feel that you can really do. This is my motivation of my heart. And just can I just close with this?
Yeah, close it.
Just with some benefits. And you find these in Isaiah 58:8. And if you read down there, there's about 10 benefits from fasting. That your light shall break forth like the morning, that your healing shall spring forth speedily. Yeah. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of your Lord shall be your rear guard. There's glory. You shall cry out to the Lord, and He will answer your prayers. There's direction, guidance. There's satisfaction. There's refreshing. There's work that endures. And there's restoration.
So good, Steve.
So let's, as a church, let's get involved. We do a prayer on a Monday night. Now it's from 7 to 8.
It's tomorrow, right?
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah. And we're going to do it over the whole 3 days. Now it's...
3 weeks.
Over the next 3 weeks. Yeah. Sorry, over the 3 weeks. Now maybe you struggle with prayer. I just encourage you to come along and just sit. And sit in the presence of God. Because We're probably going a bit deeper with our prayer this year. And God's presence is there. And so I'd really encourage you to come out just for the next 3 weeks. Make that be a bit of a stand for you.
It's good. It's great.
Amen. So, yeah, let's get all involved together. And I'm just really looking forward to hearing all of the great testimonies and breakthroughs.
Absolutely.
On the 18th.
Yeah, amen. That's right. Well done, Steve. Let's give Steve a big hand. Steve does an amazing job running our prayer. And Reese, the people are missing out, aren't they, if they don't come to prayer? So hear it from the young man. So good, the prayer meetings. Before we stand and commit this 21 days together, which is why I've got the music team back, there was a tragedy in the United Kingdom this week. KFC closed all their stores across the United Kingdom because they ran out of chickens. What is KFC without chicken? A slimy, oily mess. What is a Christian without Jesus? No chicken, no KFC. No Jesus, no Christian. And so part of our rising up this year is showing that we believe in God. We have a relationship with Him. We pray. We belong to Him. Why don't we stand on our feet? Father God, we're thanking You. Come forward, music team. We're thanking You for who You are in our lives. You can take this away. Thanks, Blim. Father, why don't we just raise our hands for a moment? We receive from Your Holy Spirit, and we determine to and have the self-discipline, Father, to be Your servants during this period of time, that together we would rise up, that the weights would go on our own lives, that we would see other people's lives transformed and changed, and Lord, that we would commit to a greater future through our story, our future, in the mighty, precious name of the Almighty Lord Jesus Christ. We honor You today. Thanks, guys.